It's 7:36. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and a good morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Monday morning today. And we're going to get some practical tips this morning on how to calm an argument before it gets out of control. And so I thought there is one person who can help us with this. It's licensed marriage and family therapist, clinical social worker, professor, author, national speaker, and a friend of ours, Dr. Linda Mintel. Good morning.
Take a deep breath.
I know. Scott brought me coffee this morning. I haven't been the same since. It's just
And that'll be the only time that that'll happen now.
Hey, but if Scott, let's do this. If Scott were your partner, this would be a good thing for him to do, to begin to build the trust and the respect and all the things that you need in order to work on an argument.
That's so perfect.
That's a good segue into what we're talking about.
Dr. Linda, I love this topic, and I'm a married guy. Here's my first question for you, because this one will help me specifically. So for everybody listening, I'm sorry. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to ask one question. When do you know, what is a sign when maybe an argument is going from the healthy disagreement to the unhealthy level of anger where suddenly this is going to do more damage than maybe it's worth?
Well, that's a little bit hard to answer if we don't pick it apart a little bit, because what we have to understand about an argument is that there are ways for couples to repair damage in an argument. So having an argument isn't a problem. A lot of healthy couples have arguments. But the fact is that a healthy couple, when they have an argument, they can repair the damage. So the issue isn't so much what do you do, although we're going to talk about what you do, what healthy couples do to repair the damage, because those are important things for us to know. But more importantly, to get to your question, is really this whole idea of how you're feeling about your partner overall. If you're feeling that the bulk of the way you feel about your partner is negative, and it's what researcher John Gottman calls, if you have what he calls negative comparisons, where every time you have an argument, you think, oh, my life would be better without this person, or, hey, I know someone else who could better treat me differently, or I know my partner at work really, you know, understands my problems better than my wife does. If you have those negative feelings and you turn away from your partner when you're having some kind of negative feeling and you go to somebody else, that's a setup for trouble. So the first thing you have to think about when you're arguing with somebody, when you're arguing with your spouse, is that do I have these positive feelings about my spouse overall? And the way we talk about that is, do we have a mutual trust? Do we have mutual respect for each other? So is there sort of a foundation here where we can have a disagreement? It can go a little bit negative, but it won't go to the point that we can't repair it and make things better.
So let me ask you, when you talk about, turning away from your spouse and then thinking about somebody else in your life, that can be mental as well. It doesn't mean that you necessarily pick up the phone and call that person necessarily, but in your mind, are you talking about turning away and suddenly you're not engaging your spouse? You're thinking about, you know, an escape plan, if you will, and maybe that's a little too intentional.
Yes, it's exactly right. You can do it in your head, and a lot of times we do. And in fact, a lot of people will sort of turn away in their head and think that they're doing that to help the relationship. They're actually avoiding the conflict of whatever was going on in the argument. And they think, well, you know, it's going to go bad if I say what I really think. If I let my partner know that right now I'm feeling abandoned, or right now I'm feeling dismissed, or right now I'm feeling like you don't understand, you're not giving me a choice, a chance to express my feelings. If I say those things, it's going to be like dynamite in the relationship, and I just don't want to have this big blowout explosive argument. So I'm going to help our relationship by keeping that quiet and keeping that in my head. Well, that is a huge mistake, because then what happens is exactly what you're talking about. Then we tend to think about talking to someone else, or we think that somehow it's dangerous, or I don't trust my partner to bring up these negative feelings that I'm having. And let's face it, you have negative feelings in a relationship over time. So it's not that people have these feelings. It's the fact that people in an intimate relationship decide not to be out there with those feelings or deal with those feelings in a healthy way. And actually, Scott, to get back to your original question, there are some markers. And the markers are when you're in an argument, when you become very critical, or your partner becomes critical, or you start to see that you're getting highly defensive and you're putting up a wall in that conversation, and then those thoughts in your head, or sometimes people even express them, become hateful and contemptuous, and they think, I'm better off without this person.
And another comparison thing too, Linda, that I think I know I've done it or others have done it to me. It's just like, you are just like your father, or you are just like your mother or something, you know, or you're just like my mother or father. Yeah, it's a bad thing.
It's a negative comparison. And the reason negative comparisons are so problematic is because it goes into what we call, it erodes what we call the positive bank of emotions. So if you're constantly having these thoughts of, oh man, you're just like your father, or I can't take this because it reminds me of so and so or whatever, you're eroding that positive feeling that you need in a relationship where you always feel like you have the other person's back and that there is this mutual trust. And I think this is so important to say, because what happens to so many couples is they go to a therapist, they have these problems with conflict and arguing and fighting all the time, and then the therapist focuses on communication skills and says, well, say it this way or don't do it this way. But really what's at the root of all of that is this negative overriding feeling that this person doesn't have my back and I really can't trust this person, or I feel disrespected and I just don't feel like they care to understand who I really am.
All right, so let's turn the corner here. And when you're in this kind of conversation, what are the first types of things that you can do to start bringing the argument down to a more manageable level and, dare I even say, helpful level? I know in my experience, Dr. Linda, sometimes arguments that I felt like, going to do this again, have actually turned out to be very helpful in the long run. How do you start bringing things to that point?
Well, the key thing here is to remain in a somewhat calm position. Now, I know that sounds like almost impossible when you're so mad at somebody
sometimes,
and you're angry or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea here is, in couples who do well in arguments and fighting are the couples who can somehow manage to keep their physiological levels down. So we know from the research that we actually, you know, hook people up to these machines and look at their pulse rates and their blood, you know, their pulse rates to see how they're doing. And people who get very aroused physically, especially men in relationships, can't think, they can't listen, they get defensive, and it goes nowhere. So the real key in a relationship that is having an argument or a fight is being able to physiologically, what we call soothe either yourself or your partner and keep that emotional arousal down so that two of you can think and actually continue to converse in a way that's constructive.
Now, see, I've been telling Cheryl that she just needs to calm down.
She needs to calm down.
I'm sure that helped a
and
lot.
That doesn't work.
No, trying to be helpful.
Yeah, because when you tell the person to do that, they're just getting madder and madder at you because they think you're dismissing them again and saying, I'm so much better than you are because I'm staying calm in this. So what you want to do instead is you want to do something that calms the relationship down. Not tell the person, but do something. So it's a good distinction to make here.
I've made that note.
When we come back in a moment, Linda, let's dig into some of these things, the practical tips that we can do to break that tension and to help diffuse these arguments before they get out of control. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and it's PK and Scott keeping you company this morning with our guest, Dr. Linda Mintel, and we'll be right back with more on how to calm down an argument. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm PK along with Scott Michaels keeping you company today, and our guest is Dr. Linda Mintel, and we're talking about the practical steps on how to calm down an argument. How do we begin that process, Linda? Because sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, it's really hard to be the one with the cool head, and sometimes you may be the one that always has to be having the cool head. Maybe your person that you're having the argument with is just going to be always that person. So how do we start? What do we do? Because it can be really devastating if you don't find a way to diffuse it.
Well, there are some very specific behaviors that you can do, and we'll start with one of them. Let's remember that these work best when, I'm going to keep saying this, when there's mutual trust Mm-hmm. And when people are actually feeling positive about their relationship, when that isn't there, these don't work as well. But I'm going to assume that people are feeling good about their partner and wanting to work on their relationship and have that kind of respect. I use a little example in the blog about being driving down a busy road, and maybe the wife saying, "Hey, slow down, you're driving too fast," and the husband saying, "I know how to drive. I don't need to be told what to do." That was the last time I got a ticket.
No, this is a hypothetical.
Kind of from my personal life.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this hypothetical? Okay.
Yeah, and then the other partner says, "Well, that's not my point. I don't want to die today. I need a manicure and I need clean underwear, which is what my mom always used to say to me. Don't go to the hospital unless you have clean underwear on."
Yep.
So you make a joke. And in the middle of that, and that is a really good diffusing point, because then what happens is you both start to laugh. It breaks that tension and that argumentative atmosphere. The laughter, the humor really, really does break the heat and lower the heat. And when you both relax, because you're laughing, it's a stress reducer. It relaxes the physical body. And when that happens and there's an effort on one person to reduce that physiological reaction in the other, then the conflict settles down. So humor is always good to inject into an argument that's heating up and break that tension, bring things to a little bit more relaxed point.
Dr. Linda, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. Now,
wanting help, Scott. I know what your MO is.
Here we go.
Let me ask this. Isn't there times, and maybe this is unique to each individual relationship, but isn't there times where maybe a joke or a piece of humor is going to be viewed by your partner as, well, you're not taking this seriously?
Well, if your partner were to say that, which would be a good thing, and say, "Hey, come on, I mean it, you know, this is not a joke," then what you would do is you might want to acknowledge that some part of what that partner is saying is true. So you might then say, "Okay, I know it's not a joke, honey, but, you know, this driving fast is really scaring me." And then hopefully if you can acknowledge that there's something you're doing at that moment that's bothering your partner, doesn't mean you have to agree completely with what they're saying, but you're noticing that, hey, my actions are having an impact on that person. That's a critical skill in intimate relationships, acknowledging what's going on, because what happens in intimate relationships is the ones that are healthy, they have what we call a sense of attunement. And what attunement means is that in the deepest level, you understand and you respect your partner's inner world. That's when you're attuned to what's going on. So in that moment, when it's heating up, and maybe you try humor and it doesn't work, and you begin to attune to what's going on with my partner. Oh, there's something here that's bothering her. Maybe I need to address that. And then you can talk about the way you deal with it, which is what my husband does. He says, "Look, I know what I'm doing. I'm driving a certain way. I've driven in Chicago traffic, you know, multiple times. Maybe part of it is you're just so tense and upset that maybe you need to take a deep breath too." Now, that might make me upset if he says that. But then I would need to say, maybe there's a little bit truth into what he's saying. Maybe I get overly tense in traffic just because it's traffic, and I can take a deep breath. And so we've acknowledged with each other that there's a little part of what the other person is saying that might have some truth.
I think you said a key point there, too, at least for me, when you said take a deep breath. You know, my mom always used to say, before you just get into an argument or if you're really upset about something, to count to 10. Well, if pretty soon you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, it didn't always work. But just if you can take that breath and take a pause to not instantly flame on with, you know, being so upset, isn't that a big part of it? Then you can think through some of these steps.
It is. It's part of that physiological soothing that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you can de-stress your body, and it's so interesting that it's tied to the physical. You know, we look at the cortisol levels of people when they get into arguments and they can't calm themselves down. And people who can't do that, especially overnight, those people have higher rates of divorce because they're unable to calm their bodies down and to get a sense of that momentary relaxation. It's not exactly relaxation, but it's calming the physiological response. And that, again, is key to couples making it in the long run. And if you can do that for yourself, it helps. If you can do that to each other, it's a real benefit, because sometimes you're just being cued by your partner to calm yourself down. Sometimes I need that. I need my partner to cue me, and then I can take a deep breath and I can say, okay, let's just talk about this.
Mm-hmm. PK, what does it mean if we're counting backwards with the menacing tone? Is something going to happen?
Yeah, I think that usually happens when a bomb goes off.
Right.
Or, you know,
is that
dynamite.
Just time to run?
That's a dynamite kind of thing. So, Linda, you talk about in your blog too about a good way to even address this is maybe a word of caring, or but you have to not do this in a snarky way, like,
right.
Oh, well, you know, your hair looks good today, you know. And my husband will do that sometimes. We have some real funny things that we'll do during arguments just to try and make each other laugh. And he'll say, yeah, but, you know, I really like you. He will do that. But your hair looks good. So does it really matter?
Yeah, and it really is just another way to break that real tension that is just making things escalate. So giving your partner a compliment in the middle of that, and even if it's a distracting comment, like you're saying, mm-hmm. it works. So we see this in couples who are healthy. They're able to somehow work in, you know, what I think about is I remember I worked with this young couple and they would get into these really heated debates and then he would just stop and look at her and go, you know, but I married the most beautiful woman in the world. And I mean, what do you do when he says that? You just kind of melt for the moment and goes, okay, but honey, I'm really upset. It just takes the level of arguing down a notch. And again, allows that physiological part to calm down and then to have you both have a meaningful conversation rather than a defensive one. So if you can do that, if you can express some affection, a word of caring during an argument, or some kind of distracting comment that is heartfelt, I mean, don't say it if you don't mean it, just
yeah.
as a manipulative device, but if you really mean it, it does help diffuse that tension.
And saying it sarcastically will not help the argument at all.
Yeah, that probably will come across as not exactly meaningful at
all. Dr. Linda, one of the things that is a phrase in our family that we like to say is, there's a little bit of truth in a lot of jokes. Now, in a lot of arguments, even when they become heated, you can find that there are legitimate points usually on both sides.
That's true. And so one of the things you want to do is try to agree to one point of positive change. If you can identify that point, and again, see, this is all requiring the person, both people, not to get highly defensive. When the criticism happens and the defensiveness goes up, everything goes sour and it goes to the wrong place. So if you can keep that the whole atmosphere less tense and less defensive, and then you can say, okay, what is there anything in this argument that's worthwhile? Is there some point of change that we can both make to help each other? And again, it's not all about you. It's really helping your partner in a way of getting along with you that really helps that person as well. So you have to kind of get out of yourself. And I know that sometimes mm-hmm. we just want it to be about us and, you know, our needs aren't getting met and I want my needs met.
I'm right.
That's right. And instead, looking at how can I make this relationship work better for both of us? And it's moving your thinking from an I to a we. And couples who do well think in terms of their relationship, not in terms of their individual needs. So that's an important part as well.
And that ties into your last point, too, that you had on the blog about just, again, for me, I have to take a deep breath to do this, and it kind of demands a little bit more maturity than I want to have at that moment. And I'm not always very good at it, but it's all about seeing their point of view and then verbalizing that. But it's hard to do that, isn't it?
Well, it is when you're upset and angry. But again, if your overriding thought can be, this person loves me, I want to do life with this person, I want to make this relationship as best it can. If you have what we call this positive override in the relationship, if it's all about, hey, this is the person who has my back, this is the person who I can trust, this is the person who's going to be there when I need him or her to be there. If you have that override of positivity going in your relationship, then it's easier to stop and think, well, how is he feeling? Why is he feeling this way? Or what's going on with him? Or what is he saying that I need to pay attention to now? So you see, I'm taking it back full circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a bunch of communication techniques. And I want people to hear that because they'll go into marriage and family therapists sometimes and they'll say, okay, try these positive communication techniques. And they're not really looking at the root of their relationship is that this mutual trust has somehow been eroded, that there's too much negativity in their thoughts towards their partner where they're looking for escape or they're just looking to confirm the negativity. You really have to go back to really calm down arguments in general to this very basic building block of turning toward your partner when something is wrong and
mm-hmm.
building that mutual trust and respect.
That's perfect. Very challenging and so good. Thank you, Linda, for sharing this with us today, and I know this is going to help a lot of us.
Thanks so much.
Have a great week. Nice talking with you.
All right, you too.
And Dr. Linda Mintel, our guest this morning. You can hear this interview and share that with somebody at myfaithradio.com/FRM. We'll be back tomorrow. Scott, joining me tomorrow.
Have a great day. See you then.